to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Come a little bit closer. Took it into the thing for the intro.
Sometimes, Dolores, sometimes you have to be a high-riding bitch to survive. Sometimes being a bitch is all a woman has to hang on to.
For more pearls of wisdom from the film Dolores Claiborne, tune in to Earhammer with Ramel Wood every Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. for the Dolores Claiborne Minute, where I recap 1 minute from the film every week, exclusively on Radio Free Brooklyn.
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and I'm Joey Gay, stand-up comic and voice of cartoon frogs.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head.
You are now tuned in to Kicking It with the Joneses on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hey, Brooklyn, it's your girl, Queen T. You are now tuned in to Kicking It with the Joneses on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's your girl, Queen T, a.k.a. Mrs. Jones, and I'm here with my better half, D Stacks, a.k.a. Mr. Jones, and we are the Joneses. Me and D Stacks are a power couple. We out here on our grind, making moves together by the grace of God. Kicking It with the Joneses is live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We bringing it to you straight up, telling it like it is, covering Brooklyn news, trending news, and hood news, keeping it 100. It's important to tune into our show, not only because we are dope, but because you can win free stuff. We will have special giveaways, not every show, but often enough. We will be having a Christmas giveaway. Each episode leading up to Christmas, we will give you a clue word at the end of each show. And on the last Tuesday, which is December 20th, the first caller to call in with all three clue words will be crowned the winner and will receive a super dope Christmas gift on behalf of the Joneses. Last week, we gave the second clue word, and a third clue word will be revealed at the end of this show. So you must tune in to listen to the entire show, and we're going to reveal the last clue word at the end. So basically, last week, if you missed it, the topics included suicide and love versus lust. So if you missed last week, you can go to Mixcloud to hear what you missed and catch up on last week's topics.
The topic that we're going to be talking about this week is Black Lives Matter. Is it really for black people or just a waste of time movement? Because black lives only matter when the police is killing a black person, but don't matter when it's black on black crime. Did you know 93% of black homicide victims are killed by other blacks?
I didn't even know that, but I saw an article where it say that there were 6,000 black killed by other blacks in 2015 in New York City alone, and only 258 blacks was killed by police that same year. This year so far, 175 blacks was killed and 325 whites was killed this year. I don't support police wrongfully killing of any race.
I don't support either, but it's a far greater problem is black-on-black crime. Let's protest to stop that. When that's happening, you don't see that little bobblehead out shopping around. He show up where the money at and for political gain, which is police killings. If blacks really thought he cared so much about black people, in 2004, he ran for president. It wasn't short-lived because nobody even remember it. And it's funny how he always say the system corrupt, but he owes $4.5 million in taxes. What you doing with the money? You're not giving it to the black community.
Did you just call Al Sharpton a bobblehead? Like, really? OD. So, I actually like Al Sharpton. I believe he's a true black activist. Reverend Al Sharpton has dedicated his life to the fight for justice and equality. For decades, he has turned the power of dissent and protest into tangible legislation impacting the lives of ordinary people. As President Barack Obama himself once said, Reverend Al Sharpton is a voice for the voiceless and a champion for the downtrodden. Al even quoted, because people have talked about Al. He even quoted. He said, they say I want publicity. He said, that's exactly what I want. I want publicity on the issues. But let's think about it. Do you think that anybody has ever called in Al Sharpton to keep a secret? I don't think so. He is cool so he can do what he do and get people attention. So I'm Team Al.
People in the hood don't even like snitches. So why would they like Al Sharpton? He was, first of all, he was an FBI informant. And y'all remember him in the Lomax company commercials lying to the people, claiming he fighting for the right mind and taking out, telling people to take out loans that's 300 APR. That's outrageous. People complaining about loans at 12% APR, and he's telling people to take out a loan for 300% APR. And also, he sent the family, the guy that got killed in the pink houses, he sent their family an invoice for him to speak at his funeral. Like, really? Talking about it was going to be a donation to his National Action Network. That's crazy. He should be doing that for free. And to me, he's more of a house nigga.
Ooh. Are you serious? How you just say that about Al Sharpton live on air? That's just insane. That's crazy to me. But I don't think that Al Sharpton is no house nigga. Like, that's just insane. You don't call Al Sharpton that. He been around probably before he was born. I don't even know. Like, doing a lot. Like, he does a lot for the community. Yeah, he might have invoiced that man's family. But at the end of the day, how is he supposed to get money? Like, that's his job. Well, pretty much his job. Are you going to go, D-Stacks, are you going to go protesting for somebody's family member that was wrongfully killed? Have you been to a protest?
Yeah, I've been to the protest. Really? On 125th Street in Harlem.
You've been on a protest.
And mostly the protesters was white. But you protested for black people, but half of y'all white. Like, really?
You went to a protest with your signs up, cardboard. Of course.
Black lives matter. But even though I think they more full of they more anti-police, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the issue, though.
I'd rather protest for black-on-black crime.
That's another issue. But altogether, we need to protest for crimes, period, no matter what. But you're out of control for talking about Reverend Al Sharpton. But let's get back to Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter was created as a call to action for black people after 17-year-old Trayvon Martin was, you know, murdered. And he basically, they put him on trial for his own murder the way they slandered him. And the killer, George Zimmerman, was not held accountable for the crime he committed. It was a response to the anti-black racism that permeated over society and also, unfortunately, our movement. What a lot of people don't know is that a white man named George Sokos and his organization called Open Society Foundation gave more than $33 million in grants to Black Lives Matter movement. George said in September 2016 that his foundation will invest $500 million in companies founded by refugees and migrants, especially those arriving in Europe. Over the years, he made gifts to various organizations that support immigrants, and in March gave $3 million to a super PAC that wants to mobilize Hispanic voters. The flight of the refugees is personal. He was born in Nazi-occupied Hungary. He fled the country and put himself through the London School of Economics, working as a railway porter and a waiter before getting his start in finance at a merchant's bank. He later moved to New York, worked on Wall Street, and established a hedge fund in 1969 with $12 million.
In the quote, it said George Serrano said he funded the Black Lives Matter movement because he wanted to bring down the United States and the black community, and it's easiest to manipulate, but later said that it wasn't true. He never said that. I think it's true because why is the real reason why he funding Black Lives Matter? This evil manipulation of black and poor communities is a common strategy that has been used successfully in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s. To advance the ultimate goal of transforming America. So ask yourself why the Black Lives Matter movement dismissive of black on black crime and why they aren't addressing the number one killer of blacks in America, which is abortion.
That's a good, you know, question and topic. But I honestly don't think there's anything wrong with him funding Black Lives Matter. Even if he got alternative motive behind the scene, at the end of the day, he still donated to them and he still promoted the cause that his funds basically helped it to go on. So no matter what it was for, he still submitted them funds and them funds went to use. So shout out to you, George. Whatever you're trying to do, we got the message. Black Lives Matter is still running, and not because of you, but you helped it. So shout out to you for that. And
he helped to detain them.
But at the end of the day, he still funded. Where's the black ones that funded it?
You're right. They know what it been found. Al Sharpton didn't fund it either.
Al Sharpton don't got no money to fund it.
So
but Al Sharpton
is not. He
owe all
that money in taxes. He must have some money.
Al Sharpton is not a millionaire, though. Oh. He's not. He's out there working with communities.
You're right.
And
still
I'm pretty
Brooklyn.
Sure. I'm pretty sure his invoice was not that much money for them families. I don't think he said, oh, you got to pay me $1 million to march up and down the block. I doubt it.
Probably he did. You can't start a revolution funded by the white man.
And then who's going to help his transportation? Think of it. He be going from here to there. We supposed to see Al Sharpton on the train?
He be on Fulton Street.
But that's different. Can you imagine if Al Sharpton go on a train to sit next to somebody like you? That'd be terrible.
You know, I wouldn't want no house niggas sitting next to me anyway. Would you step I'd rather have a field nigga than a house nigga.
Listen. You tripping. But we're going to take a break. These stacks is crazy. So we're going to take a break and we're going to play an audio about Black Lives Matter movement from Dr. Omar Johnson.
This ought to be a movement for whites, a movement for pastors. This had nothing to do with the pastors. I mean, it's great that you got the ministers and pastors want to get out and support, but don't come out and support now when the media's here. You haven't been supporting. You know, you got different groups and organizations out here talking about Black Lives Matter, and we support y'all. Most of them are white. Come from the AME or CME church. And that's how they came in. They got their foot in the door. They appealed to the white churches here in St. Louis and every other city that they go to. We're talking about the three girls who allegedly created this hashtag, Black Lives Matter. You know, they got their foot in the door. And they catapulted for my movement. Sorry.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this. One of the things that I saw during the Ferguson protest, I saw some of it during the Baltimore protest, but I think they learned from the Ferguson rebellion, and they were able to circumvent it to some degree, although not totally. During the Ferguson protest, I saw an attempted takeover of that rebellion by the white liberal protester. Some of the marches had way too many white folk in them. And the first thing I thought back to the Dr. King sanitation worker strike in Memphis, where the FBI deliberately added people to the march to misdirect and redirect the purpose and function of what he was doing. For all those right. white folk to show up in mass, that was not just some quote-unquote good white folk who just decided to get up and support the event. They tried to whitewash it and turn it into a police brutality issue instead of an African genocide issue. See, whenever you infiltrate any movement, and this is something we have to learn, and that's why political science class is so important for our community, not ideology class, because we'll come together and we'll spend 3 hours talking about the gods and earths or the Nation of Islam or the socialists or the Garveyites or the Nawabians or the Hebrews. No, that's ideology. Later for that. We're talking about political education. And what I mean by that is our people need to understand that whenever you allow another race to infiltrate a movement or justice initiative that is based on racism, by the mere fact that you allowed outsiders to participate in the struggle, you automatically neutralized racism as a point of discussion. Because what happens is when the whites join the struggle, they automatically, by their appearance, produce an argument that racism cannot be the primary issue here because we are white and we are marching with you. So it neutralizes your argument that what is being done to black people is primarily an act of racial genocide. When you integrate it, the only thing you can argue now is police brutality. And so now the issue goes away from genocide of the black man and woman to police repression in America. In other words, white boys are being murdered once in a while. You got a couple Latinos being murdered, one Asian once in a while. But it eliminates the fact that the disproportionate victim of white police brutality has been the black male. But when you let them white folk in, you neutralize racism. And I believe that the government intentionally sends some white folk in to neutralize the argument at the United Nations that America is guilty of genocide. By whitewashing it, by integrating it, it neutralized our ability to argue that because we allow sympathetic whites to stand next to us.
Exactly. And I've seen that here, you know, being out there on the front line myself, Dr. Umar Johnson, since the beginning of all this happened, man, how it unfolded. You had a sister named Michelle, I can't remember her last name, African-American sister, who appeared on NPR, National Public Radio, here in St. Louis, Missouri. Y'all familiar with her. And she's on Facebook and all that stuff. She did Ferguson, what was the title of her show? She did two Ferguson shows, Ferguson Post Michael Brown Part 1, Part 2, or whatever the title was, okay? And so she was on this platform with this homosexual black male that they brought in. He was out there protesting, I think, 7 days. And the government made him a new civil rights leader. He protested 7 days, brother. Now, he's sitting on a panel, and he ain't even from St. Louis, not even from Ferguson. He lost his job as a teacher in another state. He was found, they saw him on the news down here protesting. They said, okay, you want to protest? Okay. You no longer have a job. Gone out, stay out there in Ferguson. Okay. And 7 days he protested, and they made him a civil rights leader. Now he's sitting on his panel with Michelle, who's an African American sister, talking about Ferguson, you know, after Ferguson, the post Ferguson. Then you got Senator Maria Chapel Nadal sitting up here too, and you got a room full of white people from Ferguson, and the only people that they called that were black were not even from Ferguson, did not even participate in the movement. I'm there. I put my questions on the card. They wanted you to put your questions on a piece of card, and they wanted you to you know, put your zip code and all that so they can identify where you're from and who you are. I'm hearing a lot of background noise in the background. Whoever, they please mute your phone so that we can have a clear message. And
okay, and we back live. This is Kicking It with the Joneses on Radio Free Brooklyn. We just played a little snippet of audio about the Black Lives Matter movement with Dr. Omar Johnson, and he basically was expressing his opinion on it, which I agree with totally. He definitely is right, and, you know, it's a shame that we even have to have this movement of Black Lives Matter. It should have been already embedded in people's mind that all lives matter, especially black lives. Like, we've been through a lot, and I just wish that we were at a place where color didn't matter anymore. But it's a shame that we are not there as a nation. And it's sad. It's really sad, especially the police brutality. That's sad. And it's really a shame. You would think that your ancestors and your relatives fought for your rights, and they went through so much. And you would think here in 2016 that we have come so far, but yet we still are facing so many things that they used to face back then. It's really sad. So, and then before we went to break, we was talking about our opinions, and then we was talking about, you know, about the community activists, mainly Al Sharpton, and my opinions of Al Sharpton and D Stack's opinions of Al Sharpton, which definitely differs a whole lot. But now we are going to get into something. We have this song by Jay Gotti. It's called Black Lives Matter. It's called Black Lives Matter. So we're about to play the song, and we're going to come back really quick.
Y'all too busy playing Pokemon and beefing over clout. Babies coming left and right and niggas dying every day. Yeah, they watch your every move, know your schedule every day. We a threat, they don't like us, they just wanna see a struggle. Don't no nigga want no college, everybody wanna hustle. We don't wanna work hard and try to get it out the muscle. We got welfare and food stamps and diapers in the duffel. First love, let me solo cause I made a few mistakes. They don't give a fuck about us, all they gon' do is betray. They don't tell us about the aliens that come and visit Earth. They just wanna see another nigga laying in the hearse. They don't tell us that we in the last days over here. Spent 2 years in a cell playing spades over here. Every time we go to jail, they getting paid over here. Why you worry about the motherfucking J's over there? We do work, slave work, for the white man, though. They go chilling in the mansion, we trap out the band, though. And y'all niggas think it's cool, now they blowing scouts back. When they put us in the FEMA, it's gonna blow your scalp back. In the book of Revelations, it's gonna tell you about the truth. They gonna chop off niggas' heads, then gonna trap us in the coup. And the babies that we having getting thrown in the pit. Demons biting at your skin, Obama chopping off your dick. Martial law, world war, yeah, it's coming, little bitch. Do y'all value what I'm saying? Y'all should know this little shit. Black people, we the ones that really started all this shit. We created all this shit and they just bargain all this shit. They say put your hands up and then they empty out the clip. All this shit was planned out, they wrote it up just like a skit. Yeah, I miss my old hoes, but I ain't stressing by the bitch. Bad boys so bloody, but them niggas quick to snitch. I did 2 whole years in the prison cell, ho. Graduated high school with a mirror roll, ho. I'm a black educated headband ass nigga. You a 900 talking to the fed ass nigga. We can do it, yeah, we can. All we need is love, faith. You should go and find a job before you catch another case. Cause they wanna see us gone, they tryna kill the whole race. They say freeze where you at it, then they blame you whole face. All you gotta do, believe it's a God in the sky. This ain't all that is the life, we got a job in the sky. Sold my soul to the devil, then I snatched it right back. Sold your soul to a gang, got a bullet right back. I just hope you niggas ready, cause the shit is coming soon. We so motherfucking stupid, we don't even got a clue. But my finger on the trigger, I'm prepared for when it do. But my generation stupid, they don't even got a clue. No surprise if they try to take my life for this song. Bitch, I know I'm going to heaven, nigga, send me on home. I just hope the jury play this shit when God, he long gone. Better live it while you can, be this world is long gone. No, 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 no. No, no. Stop.
Okay, and we back live. This is Kicking It with the Joneses on Radio Free Brooklyn. And we just played two songs dedicated to the Black Lives Matter movement. The first song was by Jay Gotti, and the second song was I Stand by Just Jazz. And we are back. I hope you like the song. I really liked the second song. That was really dope. Jay Gotti was just, he was pretty dope, but a little extra. Too many curses. But that was D-Stack's choice, of course, not mine.
Well, both of the songs is good. Shout out to them. Okay, the next topic we're going to be talking about is black businesses. There's a growing movement to support black-owned businesses that has inspired many black folks, you know, to jump on the black business bandwagon. Black businesses decreased about, 34.5% between 2007 and 2015, totaling about 3.6 million black firms. But you have to understand, there will be no successful black fight for economic equality as long as we are busy pouring our hard-earned dollars into businesses owned by other races. The only problem is that black-owned businesses have low profits and higher closure rates compared to other races.
I agree about black businesses. I did some research on it, and this is what I came up with. A few things like statistics. So I'm going to tell y'all, I thought this was real interesting. So it's cool. I got this from the blackdemographics.com, and it say the power of business ownership. And then it say white owned businesses create 55.9 million jobs, which is enough to employ 44% of the working age white population. And with annual revenue of $12.9 trillion, they could give every working age white American a check for $102,000 every year. Then it goes to Asian owned businesses. It says they create 3.8 million jobs, which is enough to employ 33% of the working age Asian population, and with annual revenue of $793.5 billion. It said they could give every working age Asian American a check for $67,000 every year. Then it goes for Hispanic-owned businesses. Creates 2.5 million jobs, which is enough to employ 8% of the working age Hispanic population, and with annual revenue of $473.6 billion, they could give every working age Hispanic American a check for $14,000 every year. Now we get into the black-owned businesses. They create 1 million jobs, which is enough to employ 4% of the working age black population. And with annual revenues of $187.6 billion, they could give every working age black American a check for $7,000 every year. So these statistics is really crazy, because we go from the white-owned businesses, they could create 55.9 million jobs, and the black-owned businesses could only create 1 million jobs. Like, where the black-owned businesses is at the bottom of the totem pole, pretty much, because we even see here where they have, well, not only the blacks, the Hispanics too, but the Hispanics is a little bit higher because they could create 2.5 million jobs, and black-owned businesses could only create 1 million jobs. And then it say, the part that gets me is the part where it say, well, how much, which is enough to employ. So the white-owned businesses have enough to employ 44% of the working class, where the black-owned businesses only have 4% enough to employ 4% of the working class age black population. That says a lot. So you pretty much think of why black businesses are struggling the way they are. Like, what is going on that we are so low? Why are we at the bottom of the totem pole? And I honestly think it's because the lack of support. There is lack of support to black businesses. You have to really support your own people. Like, before we could get somewhere, you have to support. Support is everything for anything, for especially businesses. Sometimes we don't believe in the business, so we don't support it. But we definitely should support the black businesses. And, you know, especially if you are black, support your own. I mean, it's only right that you support your own. That's what I think. That's That's the main important thing, that why we're struggling is because we don't support each other the way we need to support. I mean, a lot of, I was reading, like, why do black businesses fail? And it had a lot of things, like, poor business plan, that they don't fully execute the business plans. But they have so many courses out there that you could take to learn how to fully write a business plan. Like, if you're going to go into business, you have to go into it with a mindset that, okay, I want this to be long term. You have to really do your research. Don't just be an Instagram seller, because that's not really a business, especially with these scammers out here. You cannot trust a lot of things on Instagram. I have my own experience with that. But that's not being a main business owner. I mean, that could eventually turn into something. But even if you're just doing it on Instagram, come up with a plan where you see yourself 5 years from now selling this stuff. That's what I think. Like, that's the best thing to do. What you need to do is to, you know, come up with a plan. D-Stacks, what do you think about that?
You're right. We should all have a business plan. You know, it's courses that you could take, you know, to find out how to do the business plan. You could Google it. But it's, I think they failed too, because
I think, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Besides competing with each other, a lot of back dealers fail because they have support customer service. And a lot of blacks want a discount because you're a black business, but will pay full price for an item from a different race. Black people are always looking for a discount on everything. And to piggyback,
I don't think that all black people want discounts, but some people do. It's not, I don't even think it's just black people. I think it's just people in general that would like a discount. Like, who don't want a good discount? It's just common sense. But it definitely is, you cannot expect to get a discount when a person is first starting out. I mean, I've seen several of that. And then especially some people be wanting to really get things for free. Everybody loves free stuff, but when you supporting somebody, you should not be expecting to get a discount right off the bat, because that's not fair to the person, and that's not going to help their business grow. Like, they need revenue coming in. Revenue has to be more than their expenses. Like, come on. Because how are they going to survive? If you're a real supporter, a true supporter, in the beginning stages, you should not be looking for certain perks. You should not be expecting handouts. You should be basically trying to help them, not trying to receive the discount. I mean, everybody likes discounts, but there's a certain time and a place for discounts.
I agree, but you know, but if you're a black business, you should be perfect. Because why would I go to your business and spend my money if the customer service is bad? But you know, but we about to go into this audio about, you know, by Dr. Umar Johnson again, about why blacks, you know, don't support each other. But then we're going to come right back.
Black people are so addicted to materialism.
Yo, next time, follow the script, man.
To vicariously add wealth to ourselves. In other words, I don't think much of me. I ain't nobody. But if I put these Air Jordans on, I will be. If I buy this house in a white suburb, I will be. You understand? If I get this white woman, I will be. If I get this Louis Vuitton bag, I will be. So we use wealth to replace self-worth. We use materialism to replace self-worth. That's why we're shopaholics. That's why we're always competing with each other. And we got a big issue of self-hate that is always the elephant in the room. I don't care what the ideology is. Socialist, nationalist, integrationist, Hebrew, more than the Wapian, God and Earth, Nation of Islam. And we've gotten so bad that the women and the men compete with each other now. So in most other races, the men might compete with each other. But the man and the woman don't compete. You ain't never seen no Chinese woman compete with no Chinese man. You ain't never seen no white man compete with no white woman. But in our community, it's literally everyone's competing with everybody else. So you got a husband and a wife, they competing with each other. So the ego is just out of control, because everybody feels worthless, and feeling worthless, the only thing we think can give us a sense of ease is to know we're outdoing other black people. So we're in a rat race to literally outdo other black people. We wake up wanting to look better than them. We wake up wanting to dress better than them. We wake up wanting to make more money than them. Will Smith said what? Black people spend too much money they don't have to buy stuff they don't need, to impress people they don't even like. You see, so you'll go out and buy a new car that you don't need and can't afford just so it looks better than the woman next door to you who you don't even know. That's the situation we in. We literally go into debt for self-hate reasons. We just want to be the HNIC, head Negro in charge. Whether it's the head Negro with the best car, head Negro at the church, head Negro in charge of the community organization, head Negro with the best pocketbook, head Negro with the best looking woman. It's all about the HNIC syndrome, being one above the rest. And it's killing us because our children are being bred, socialized, and indoctrinated with that same mindset. I see it in the schools. In second grade, they're already knocking each other for dark skin, big noses, nappy hair. In second grade, they're already saying those sneaks ain't worth nothing. I got on Air Jordans. These cost $150. They didn't wake up with that. No. They're being taught that at home and in the community. So we're literally breeding baby Negroes to take our place.
All right, we back live now. That was some of the reasons why blacks don't support blacks. You know, they always compete against one another. But we're going to talk about the trending topic. In Alabama, a man proposed to his girlfriend with the help of the mobile police officers. His name was McFadden. He met his girlfriend for dinner and drinks that night, and he wasn't answering his phone. That's when his girlfriend knew something was wrong, so her and other members in the biker community went to find out her boyfriend was being chased by mobile police and had a gun. She went to the nearby gas station where she saw multiple police cars flashing blue lights and police officers armed with tasers. Then when the officers approached her, McFarland, she told police she was going to get her boyfriend gun. As they dig into his pockets, he put out a ring and proposed to her. The whole ordeal was filmed. The video clip was an unusual proposal has since gone viral, but many are outraged because he was similar to such a situation that is too real for both victims of police brutality and for those fearful or getting routine pulled over with a resulting tragic outcome. What you think about that, Queen T?
I thought it was a cute proposal. He could have did it differently, but I thought it was cute. That's the way he wanted to propose, so that why knock him for the way he did it? He got the support of the police officers in the community. They supported him, and I don't see why people so upset about it. I don't think there's a way to be upset about it because they said of the way he did it, and he brung about the way it looked as if he was being a victim of police brutality. But like they did, he did several videos about how they like shows like that, and that's what his girl is into mainly. So why not? He did something that appeals to her mainly. So I thought it was pretty cute. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Only thing is that would have been traumatizing for me because she, like she said, she was so scared. So she didn't know what was going to happen to him. She really honestly thought that, you know, he was in danger of being shot or something. The way he proposed, he was supposed to go to meet with her and he didn't show up. Then she getting all these notices that he's on the run for the police and he have a gun. So she was really, really scared. And then it say that he has a history of running from the police. So, of course, she was fearful. So I don't think, like, me, honestly, I would have never liked that proposal because I would have been too scared and, you know, panicky. But, like she said, that's what they was into. So I don't see why people was creating such an uproar of it. Like, if you was, I don't think people should have been offended because it was just the way he wanted to do things. He wanted to propose that way, and that's just what he did. But honestly, you see a whole lot of crazy proposal nowadays, and everything is going viral. Like, this is just, we're living in an age of where every video, everything get recorded, and everything goes viral. And you really can't determine what gets recorded. You can't determine what get played or what goes viral. So I don't think people should have been offended. I honestly thought that was cute. And well, it was cute. It was different. And you got to think of it. A lot of people are fighting to go viral nowadays. Like, that's what people want. Everybody want likes. Everybody want to be popular. Everybody want to be known. So they are pretty much doing whatever it takes to go viral. And it was so funny that he posted a video saying that he didn't know that it would go viral. He didn't want the attention. But then again, he said, well, he wanted to bring about awareness and he wanted to bring the bikers, because he's in a biker club or whatever. He wanted to bring the bikers and the policemen together, especially after, you know, you see all in the news, all the run-ins with the bikers and stuff. So he wanted to bring it together. And then he knows these police officers. He know they are pretty cool. And I thought it was really nice of them to help him execute his proposal. You rarely will find some police officers that are friendly like that. And he was able to find these two friendly police officers that help him propose to his girlfriend. I think that was pretty dope of them to even help. Like, I think that should have been the main focus and not the focus being on, oh, he's using a sensitive topic to propose to his girlfriend. I don't agree with that. But I think it was really dope that he had the officers come in and that he even proposed to his girlfriend. Like, a video, he said that he really messed up and he knew that he had to do it big. He had to do something that would show her that he changed, because I guess he was a cheater or whatever the case may be. And he said he had to do something big, and like I said, he did something that she liked and that he liked. And then another video that caught my eye, which is really trending, about this same couple, which was really weird. It said how he basically did another video, and I guess he's famous for doing these videos because now he OD'd. But he did another video, and he basically was thanking all of his side chicks for teaching him how to be a better man. And he also revealed that he hadn't paid his tattoo shop rent in months. So he's a tattoo artist or whatever. He has this shop and he hasn't paid the rent in months. And because he used all his money to purchase her engagement ring. And it said that, like he said, he's in the video saying this, and the girl, she's sitting there in the video as well, listening to him. But it's like a Facebook Live. So he's going and she's just saying hi to all the people on Facebook, which I thought was really weird. But anyway, so he said once she took him back, he decided that, you know, he was going to save up every dime that he had. He wasn't going to pay no more rent for his tattoo shop and just invest into a nice ring, which I seen it. They have the picture on Facebook, online, and it is a nice ring. But he pretty much used up all his money to purchase her engagement ring. I honestly don't think that was smart. I don't think that was, you know, some people like, oh, he spent up all his money, blah, blah, for the ring. But I honestly don't think that was smart, because now you gave her the ring and you don't have any money. So now what? Like, what happened to the wedding? And they have a kid. That's crazy. Like, what happened? You basically saying you want to be with this girl and you don't have nothing to offer now. Like, you gave her this nice ring, but is she going to eat that ring? Can she live in that ring? I don't think so. So I honestly don't think that was smart, because now you behind on all these months rent with your tattoo shop. How you going to catch up with your rent, and how you going to still maintain? Like, now it's like this girl probably will have to, you know, take care of you now, and you her new fiance, which is nothing wrong with that, but I just don't think it's smart. Like, you see, like, I don't know, is there a rule for how much you have to spend on engagement ring? Some girls out there, they really, really want the most expensive ring or whatever, but you got to think about, the ring is just materialistic. You got to think about what's going to happen after he proposed, after you get the ring, what you going to do now? Like, how you going to survive? I even seen on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, if anybody out there watched this show, and they have the couple Phaedra and Apollo, and they recently divorced or whatever, and he's in jail and he has a new lady, and that's her new fiance, and she really put on Instagram the ring that Apollo gave her. Mind you, Apollo, he's in jail, and it basically was a paper ring. It looked like he made it out of newspaper or whatever paper, and she was really flaunting it on Instagram. And honestly, I think that's pretty cool. Like, not cool, but I think that is like real love, because at the end of the day, you will rarely find anyone, for one, that's going to accept the proposal while you locked up. I mean, I don't think that it's pretty, you know, I think that's kind of crazy. You accepted a proposal with somebody locked up, but let alone he even gave you a ring. I mean, maybe she thought it was sweet that he spent his time in jail in his nice little cell by himself creating this ring, because it did look kind of perfect, like the way he had it. It looked like it was her perfect size. So maybe he really took time, or he got his time. So maybe he really took a lot of time creating this ring for her, but she accepted it. That's the point. Like, that's really cool. That's very rare you find these girls that gonna want a paper ring. Like, we have this girl. He knew that he could not approach her with some crazy ring, so he took all his money for his tattoo shop to buy her this expensive ring so she could say yes. And what she says in the video is that even throughout that whole ordeal with the cops and going to the gas station and being so surprised, she said that throughout that whole ordeal, she didn't even get to see the ring until after the fact, because she was like, you know, she was so worked up and everything. So he spent up all his money, and yeah, she liked the ring or whatever, but he spent up all his money. But the main thing she was focused on was his safety and the proposal. So honestly, I don't think he should have spent all his money on the ring. It was a nice gesture, but if she really wanted him, if she really loved him, she would have said yes with a paper ring, just like the Apollo fiance said yes. Like, some of you girls out there, you can't be so materialistic. You can't always expect them to pay for all these expensive things when in reality, they don't have it like that. Because, like, this man, like, even in the article said now he might have to start a GoFundMe so his shop don't close. Like, who? What? That's just insane. Like, you just spent all this money on a ring, but you got a GoFundMe page, dude. Like, come on now. That is just insane. Like, all of that, if I was her, I would honestly see if I could downgrade just to give him some of that money to support his business, to support his dream. Obviously, this had to be something that he really is passionate about. He had a whole tattoo shop or whatever, opened it, and, you know, and then he risked it all just to get her a ring. If that was me, I honestly would try to downsize the ring. Like, I'm not saying get the paper ring or, you know, get something that's totally crazy, but I will honestly try to get back a few $100 to help him at least get into good standing with his rent, because at the end of the day, he still got bills that he gotta pay. They live together and they have a daughter. Like, at the end of the day, when you have kids involved, you don't spend all your money on a ring and then you gotta create a GoFundMe account. That is not cool. That's not cool at all. So ladies, if you out there, if somebody proposed to you and they tell you they want to spend their whole life with you or whatever, and they give you a ring and it's not all big and fancy, don't shade him, because at the end of the day, if you shade him, and guys, y'all out there, if they shade you, then that mean they really don't love you. Because at the end of the day, these rings come and go. Like, you could be washing the dishes, forget to take off your ring, and boop, down the sink it go. Like, come on. Like, these rings, and then guess what? Next week, you're going to go to Zales or wherever and get another ring. So rings, these are materialistic. Like, yes, during the whole you know, when you get married, you get your rings blessed and everything, but you could always get them re-blessed or whatever. Rings are not that important. The love is what's really important. So if you out there and you thinking about proposing to your girl, but you don't have the money for a ring, don't save up all your money check to check, you know, saving up each check to get them a ring, and then you got to do a GoFundMe account, because that's not cool. But I thought this proposal was really cool. But he's not the first person to really abuse the police powers for attention. I saw another proposal where a man, he staged a fake police robbery before proposing to his girlfriend in August. After the woman was thrown on the floor by a masked man, she was then pulled from the ground and led to the back of her car, where her boyfriend stayed on one knee with guns drawn at his face. and, you know, he had the ring. That, to me, that video was ridiculous. Because, first of all, the way they bombarded this girl, she thought she was getting kidnapped. Like, y'all going too far with these proposals. It's not that serious. Like, it's not that serious. The way they grabbed her up and they threw her in the back of the car, and it was aggressive. It looked like she was really being kidnapped, and she's afraid for her life for him to propose. Like, if you do all of that, I'm going to say no. Because that's just so dumb. Like, you ain't have to do all of that to kidnap me, put me in the back of a car to propose to me. That's just insane, and that's just dumb. But in the video, I don't even know if she said yes or not. I wonder if she said yes, because she must have liked that if she did say yes. But that was so weird. Like, some of these proposals are going above and beyond. Like, sometimes what happened to the old school thing where the ring is in a cupcake or something? I think that's kind of cute. Or when they just get on one knee and just ask you regular, like, what happened to those? Now y'all having police involvement, police about to kill you, or you having me being kidnapped just to propose. You're doing too much. All of that is not necessary. It's not cute, and it's not fun. Like, as you see, this guy thought he was doing such a good gesture. Now he getting all his backlash from Facebook and Twitter saying that he's, you know, insensitive to the other people that really experienced this violence. So sometimes it's better to keep it simple. They also had another proposal where the guy, he did this whole movie thing, and it was really cute, and he actually planned the whole wedding. Something like that is really cute. I thought that was so nice that he had everything planned. Like, she didn't have to do nothing. The stress of planning a wedding is just crazy, and it takes so much time that you would really want to somebody to just do that for you to release the stress. But then again, sometimes you want to do it. But back to the ring, ladies, don't be all into materialistic things. If he love you and he appreciates you, that's all that matters. The ring don't matter, because at the end of the day, when you celebrate your 1-year anniversary, he could give you an upgrade to the ring. Like, don't really put pressure on your man to spend up all his money on a ring and then wind up have to do a GoFundMe page because y'all can't eat the next day. That's just insane. But we're going to go into a break really quick and play this music, and we'll be right back. Behind you and ain't well wishes.
Sweetie, I don't want your cookies. If you're looking for applause, keep looking. Your recipe's boring. Need a little more spice in my cooking. Honey, you don't want my problems. If you had them, you would sink to the bottom. You should bring a life jacket. Cause people like you can't handle this love. Where were you when I needed you? Tell me, where were you when I needed you? They got vicious when they smile in your face, but behind you it ain't well wishes. When they eating all the food off your plate and they don't do dishes. When their words and their actions blur and they don't know different. No time for these fake ass bitches. You can go jump on a bandwagon. You, your money, and your lame ass friends. Go ahead and jump on a bandwagon with your fake ass bitches. I've been down in the trenches. You should know it, but you don't pay attention. You wouldn't know real talk if I screamed out loud in your face. Now listen, you got away with it.
Okay, you are tuned in to Kicking It with the Joneses, and we are closing really soon. So I want to get back into our Christmas giveaway and give y'all the third and final clue. The final clue is snowflake. So what you basically have to do is tune in next week, call us in, and have all three clue words. We gave you three clue words. I just revealed the last clue word. So next week when we hear, which is December 20th, come back, tune in, and we'll call in. We'll give you the number. You call in and you reveal the clue word. If you have all three clue words, you win the big Christmas giveaway. Thank you for tuning in to Kicking It with the Joneses. We see you next week, December 20th.
Thank you for listening to Kicking It with the Joneses.
come kick it with us again, live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn.
CP3 with the rock, I'm dishing. Hennessy getting goop, what I'm pissing. Lost all.